Good morning. I'm going to be presenting on the effect of a randomized anti-stigma school-based intervention on problem behaviors received and delivered. So I have no relationships to disclose. So first I wanted to offer a formal definition of bullying, although most of you are probably familiar. It's unwanted aggressive behavior by another youth or group of youths who are not siblings or dating partners that involves an observed or perceived power imbalance and is repeated multiple times or is highly likely to be repeated. So in 1998, the WHO conducted a health behavior in school-age children study, and their sample was about 15,000 students in the U.S. in grades 6 to 10. And just about 30% reported moderate to frequent bullying, where 13% bullied themselves, 10.6% were bullied, and 6.4% experienced both. The frequency of bullying was higher in grades 6 through 8 compared to 9 to 10. And perpetrating and experiencing bullying were associated with poor mental health. The CDC also conducted a study in 2011, the Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance Survey, and they found that 20% of high school students reported being bullied on school property in the past 12 months. In 2009 and 2010, 23% of public schools reported that bullying occurred among students on a daily or weekly basis, with a higher percentage of middle school students being bullied than high school students. So all of that's to say, the WHO and CDC survey studies show that times of transition among school-age children, such as moving from elementary to middle school, is a risk factor for participation in bullying. Therefore, these times are ideal for intervention and research. So the connection between bullying and mental health is that youth experience a mental health problem may be predisposed to participating in problem behaviors, and additionally, youth who participate in problem behaviors may experience a concurrent mental health problem. And some evidence of this is that being bullied as a child can have detrimental effects on mental health. Bullying has been associated with homicidal and suicidal behaviors, but mostly with depression. Victims of bullying and mutual bully victims, when they experience both, have lower self-esteem and non-victimized youth. Victims and bullies are more likely to experience depression and anxiety, and bullying creates feelings of helplessness, anger, and frustration. There's also negative consequences in the school and societal context of bullying. Bullying contributes to negative school climate, leading to disconnected youth and poor academic functioning. Bullying is an expensive public health issue due to its other consequences, such as increasing dropout rates, truancy, suicide, and even sometimes litigation. And often, adults do not know how to respond to the problem. So I just wanted to have a note about terminology in the terminology that I'm going to use in the research that I'm going to present. Investigators in this area of research commonly refer to reporters of bullying, violence, teasing, and other problem behaviors as victims or perpetrators. But it is my understanding that youth don't identify with those terms often, and the mutuality of problem behaviors is quite prevalent. So I like to refer to victimization and perpetration of problem behaviors as receiving and delivering problem behaviors, respectively. So my research objective for this talk is to examine the short-term effectiveness of a randomized school-based intervention aimed at reducing mental health stigma on self-reported receiving and delivering problem behaviors among sixth graders. The larger objective of the study was to look at mental health stigma outcomes, but in my particular talk, I'm going to be talking about the problem behavior outcome. So the study design was a 2x2x2 pre-post test factorial group design. Schools were matched based on socioeconomic status and standardized test scores, and then they were randomly assigned to one of eight conditions comprising of three factors. And the eight conditions arose from crossing three factors. One is the accepting differences curriculum, and the other is a contact intervention, and the third is a supplemental materials intervention. So as I just said, it was a three-pronged intervention, and the contact intervention is a three-day anti-stigma The curriculum intervention was a 3-day anti-stigma curriculum administered during the health class. The second type of intervention was a single presentation by two persons with mental illness sharing their own personal experiences. And the last type of intervention was the use of supplemental materials such as posters, bookmarks, and a newsletter in the classroom. So our hypotheses for this particular analysis was, first, as the curriculum intervention discusses the concept of tolerance and the acceptance of differences to change stigmatizing attitudes towards persons with mental illness, we hypothesize that the curriculum may also decrease problem behaviors among youth who received the curriculum intervention as well. And second, as the contact and materials intervention lacked the aspects of the curriculum that address tolerance and acceptance of others and were specifically geared towards having and treating mental illness, we didn't expect changes in problem behaviors from those groups. So our study sample, we had about 721 sixth graders from 14 schools, and the study took place in Texas. The mean age was 11 and a half years old, and just over half the sample was female. And in terms of the racial ethnic composition, about a quarter of students identified as Black, a quarter as white, and 40% Latino and Hispanic. We had 10% other racial and ethnic group that comprised mostly of Asian American, Native American, and other racial ethnic groups. But the sample sizes were too small, so we combined them into an other racial ethnic category. And of the Hispanic Latino youth, 61% reported Spanish as the primary language at home. The measures that I used for this analysis came from the pre-post survey, which included a problem behavior frequency aggression scale. It's a 19-item measure that assesses physical, non-physical, and relational aggression among youth. The problem behaviors received scale comprised of 10 items and had strong alpha reliability. And similarly, the problem behaviors delivered scale consisted of 9 items and also had good reliability. And I provide the scales in the end of my talk if you're interested in the particular items that we asked and how we coded them. So the analysis splits the sample into two groups, either receiving the curriculum or not receiving the curriculum. And the rationale for this was to test our hypothesis that the curriculum intervention would decrease problem behaviors because it addresses acceptance and tolerance of others with differences, and we needed to show the curriculum against all other groups that lack the particular content. I also ran the analyses using 3 different groups, and it didn't change the effects that we found. So we ran one-way analysis of covariance to test the effects of getting the curriculum at all versus not getting the curriculum on receiving and delivering problem behaviors, controlling for pre-test score differences in the problem behaviors. I looked at some variables that I thought would have been associated with the outcome, such as biological sex, race and ethnicity, family income, maternal education, and social desirability bias. But these variables were not significantly associated with receiving or delivering problem behavior, so they're excluded in my final analysis. However, Spanish is preferred language at home, and level of contact with mental illness were significantly associated with receiving or delivering problem behaviors at post-test after controlling for pre-test problem behavior scores. So therefore, we controlled for these variables in our final results. So the results for problem behaviors delivered, you can see that the mean difference is negative 0.114 adjusted for pretest mean of problem behaviors delivered or received. And what that means is that those in the curriculum group reported less problem behaviors delivered compared to those who did not receive the curriculum group. And even after adjusting for Spanish as preferred language and level of contact with mental illness and pretest mean of problem behaviors, the results were statistically significant, and the difference actually widened to negative 0.142. So receiving the curriculum significantly decreased delivering problem behaviors, or at least this is evidence of that. In terms of problem behaviors received, there is a mean difference as well of negative 0.063 unadjusted for pretest mean of problem behaviors, and then negative 0.091 after adjusting for the other variables, where the curriculum group reported less problem behaviors received compared to the no curriculum group. However, this didn't reach statistical significance. So the curriculum decreased receiving problem behaviors, but this effect did not reach statistical significance. So my thinking behind that was that the curriculum may not have impact on receiving problem behaviors, as these behaviors could be received by persons outside of the school setting and therefore completely outside of the study context. For example, it could have happened at the home, in the community, or among youth outside of their school, peers from that don't go to the same school. And longitudinal data will test sustained changes of the curriculum on delivering problem behaviors among the individuals who participated in the curriculum intervention. Based on these findings, the anti-stigma curriculum focused on mental illness may have broader effects by making kids more tolerant and nicer in general. Implementing the curriculum may be an approach to addressing multiple problems in the school setting in a one-shot intervention, meaning that you can address the bullying problem, its mental health consequences, and also the stigma of mental illness, which was the main aim of this intervention, broadly speaking. Thank you for your time and attention. These are some references from the introduction, and these are the items that we asked in the last 30 days. How many times have you? And then these are for delivered problem behaviors. For example, threatened to hurt someone, hit or slapped another kid, said something mean about someone's family. And then these are for the problem behaviors received. In the last 30 days, how many times have you had a kid say they won't like you unless you do what he or she wanted you to, been hit by another kid, and so on. Thank you very much.